is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. If you know someone traveling in the skies this week, buckle up. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy tells Fox News the wear and tear of air traffic controllers not getting paid during the government shutdown will lead to travel issues.
What I see coming forward as we get to Monday, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that you're going to see more staffing shortages in towers, which means you're going to see more delays, more cancellations.
Tomorrow marks day 27 of the shutdown. Air traffic controllers among 750,000 federal workers on unpaid leave. The Department of Agriculture is warning federal food aid will not go out beginning next weekend. Adrian Lewis is with Forgotten Harvest in Michigan and says more than a million in the state rely on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP.
Forgotten Harvest is built as a supplement to nutritious programs such as SNAP. We're not built for replacement, so we will definitely be there in the gaps of this, but it's going to take the community.
The latest advisory from the National Hurricane Center shows Melissa is moving slowly, now about 115 miles outside of Kingston, Jamaica. Rain and flooding will be a major issue once it arrives. Evan Thompson is Jamaica's senior meteorologist.
We could have 20 to 30 inches of rainfall over the eastern and some south central parts of the country. And then even in the higher elevations in the east, we could have over 30 inches.
French authorities have detained two of the suspected burglars believed to have stolen precious crown jewels from the Louvre last weekend. More from the BBC's Hugh Schofield.
It looks like the police knew of the identity of one or more of these gang members from the DNA, and then they moved in to make the arrest Saturday night when they saw that one of them was about to leave the country. But what we don't know yet is who the other two are, and we don't have any news of the whereabouts of the jewels.
One person's dead, several others injured after gunfire erupts at one of the oldest historically black universities in the country last night. KYW's Sharaday Howard.
I don't know why people got to shoot at a school.
That's 21-year-old Joseph, a senior at Lincoln University. And he says the emotional toll has been overwhelming. A night of chaos is how Chester County District Attorney Krista Barena-Sorobe describes it. Now one person dead and six others hurt after gunshots rang out, and all of it at homecoming.
The World Series is now a best of five. The battle between the LA Dodgers and Toronto Blue Jays shifts to Dodger Stadium tomorrow.
Dodgers are coming to LA, Dodger Stadium, great home field advantage, best ballpark in all of MLB.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Over the air and on the web, 540 WAUK is your home for real news and great conversation for Milwaukee. Learn more at WAUKradio.com.
The Badgers lose in Oregon. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers losing on the road to the Oregon Ducks 21-7 on a rainy night. Wisconsin had six starting players injured and one of their best linebackers, Darrell Peterson, ejected in the third quarter for targeting after his hit on the Ducks' backup quarterback, head coach Luke Fickle.
This is a tough one to swallow again, but tougher because, you know, that there's some things to be proud of. There's also some things to be disappointed in. We can't play undisciplined. We can't have as many penalties as we have. We can't, you know, make really poor decisions, you know, one of our seniors to get ejected. That was one of those things tonight. We're not going to win the football game, especially against a team like this on the road. If we can't play more disciplined, we can't eliminate some of those big penalties. I think that stands out to me more than anything else.
So the Badgers are now 2-6. They have a bye next week, then host the Washington Huskies on Saturday, November 8th with Sports on Mike Clemens.
It's news, weather, and sports for Milwaukee right here on 540 WAUK. Streaming 24/7 online at WAUKradio.com.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 48. Sunny, 55, the high on Monday. East winds at 10 to 15. Clear Monday night, a low around 48. It'll be windy on Tuesday with a high around 57. Wednesday, some rain and 55. Currently, 53 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by the chief economist for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We talk about the shutdown status and what challenges Americans face with the removal of the ACA subsidies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is your favorite or least favorite word? Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature. Con.
My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Buck. And Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday. Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. I know we're going to talk about Jill Underle.
Oh, yes.
And the reports in the Cap Times, among many other things.
Yes.
That's not going well.
No. Some would say handled not well.
Yeah, handled in, Not good. So we'll talk about that with Dan, among many other things. For Audio Sorbet, we're talking about the Bucks.
We'll talk a little about the Brewers, too.
About the Brewers.
I realized yesterday when Paul Noonan was on the show, we didn't talk about the Brewers at all. Not even like the little hint of like, oh, it's baseball's over. It was ignored.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the Brewers season and any memories that you want to share from this past season. Dan Schaefer here for Audio Sorbet. We will wrap up the show, as we always do, with a listener. This shouldn't be a thing.
Jane, if someone is a listener listening right now with their listening ears.
Yes.
And they're like, I have a great idea for Audio Sorbet, or this shouldn't be a thing, or a guest, or a topic, or here's a story you might be interested in. How would they do that? How would they get in touch?
Oh, it's so easy. Jane says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays. Email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. Like Greg said, you can send in your Tisbat suggestions, Audio Sorbet topics, anything you feel like. Send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. This one was sent in from Peter. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks, Pete.
It's great.
Yes.
Take a breath edition. Take a breath edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming your way around 10:53. So I hope you can join us for that. Wanted to share with you new data out this morning. Showed inflation heated up in September to a pace not seen since January. September Consumer Price Index showed prices rising at a 3% annual rate, up from 2.9 in August, above April's post-pandemic low of 2.3%. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Fox reporting this morning, an increase in gasoline, 4.1%, food, 0.2%, food at home, 0.3%, other things increasing, shelter, airline fares, recreation, household furnitures, and apparel.
Yeah.
So pretty much everything.
Everything.
But it's all good.
But Jane.
It's all good.
But Jane.
Greg.
It's all good.
It's all good. We have a clip.
Yeah.
From, remember Kaylee McEnany?
Yes.
She was a...
that sounds like a made-up name from a kid's book.
Kayla McEnany. She was in the previous Trump administration.
Oh, so she's a rhino.
And now she works for Fox.
Oh.
And she had an announcement yesterday. Good news, everybody.
Yeah.
Take a listen to Kaylee McEnany.
And last but not least, one trend and true brand is making a big comeback as consumers tighten their wallets. And here it is, Hamburger Helper. The mix of mac and cheese and ground beef is seeing a surge in sales.
Yay!
We did it, everybody.
Yay! Hamburger Helper is surging as people can't afford beef. So I guess we're just going to have noodles.
Well, see, there's a lot to unpack with that. Just her statement.
She was very smiley.
She was very smiley.
Very, like, very smiley.
It's like she's being paid by the glove itself. She's like, she's handing over some money. Like, here's the Hamburger Helper, people. Big Hamburger Helper. I think that it's very telling on this because, and I don't want to, I grew up eating Hamburger
so
Helper.
So did we.
And Hamburger Helper was the go-to affordable, I don't want to say cheap, it's affordable. The ground beef was affordable. The box was affordable. And there you go.
It was a way to stretch your meal.
Yes, you could feed people with that and then have leftovers for lunch the next day, but it was an affordable way of doing it. And nothing against Hamburger Helper as an item, nothing against the people who still eat it, but her excitement while she says, well, people are
tightening their wallets.
Tightening their wallets. I feel like we should focus more on that part rather than how excited we are over a food stuff that has an anthropomorphic glove pushing it. Like, that is just, it's, her excitement is almost insulting.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes. But again, even though Fox said this morning, core inflation came in up at 3% with an increase in food and shelter and airline fares and recreation and household furnishings and apparel and all those things.
Yeah.
But the president says not to worry.
Really?
Everything is good.
Oh.
Calvin, play that clip, please, from the President of the United States.
The only cost that's really up is beef. And the fake news only wants to talk about beef. And what I did is I made it possible for those people to survive. They're incredible people. But they were being decimated by other countries. And I didn't want that to happen. So prices are way down. Groceries are down. Everything's down. Energy's way down.
Yeah.
Even interest rates with a bad chairman of the Fed. He's terrible.
Everything's way down.
He's your chairman, dude.
Everything is way down. Maybe you're not actually seeing that when you go in the store. I know I'm not.
I guess.
But in his world, everything is down, you guys.
Well, it's easy. It's like Ron Johnson. We were playing that clip of him saying that the healthcare
Subsidies
and just the rise of costs is not going to be a major gut punch. When you're rich, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And the president has what I assume is world-class health care as the president of the United States. So he doesn't worry about that. His food, he probably doesn't realize that some of that food he actually does have to pay for himself. That's one of the underlying rules of being president, is that not everything's free. But hey, $230 million, that's going to come your way.
Yeah.
Point is, for those people who are still mega strong and love Donald Trump, how do you square what you see at the grocery store and at the gas pump?
With his words.
With his words. Where is, what is, the, so I hear it as lying, and my ears are pretty dumb. I'm not a genius. He says prices are down. They are not. This week, I watched gas prices overnight go up nearly 50 cents at a gas station. And Quick Trip in Kenosha. That's not a lie. So when he says prices are all down, except for beef. Beef is just crazy. You're shopping at these grocery stores too, and you're seeing prices go up. What am I missing that you know that I don't, that makes us winning, that we're not getting as people watching the prices also go up? I'm seriously, I want you to explain to me the 4D chess that's being played right now, where he says energy prices and grocery prices and all these prices are going down, even though they are not. What is the secret that I am missing?
855-752-4842. Also, what kind of grocery prices are you seeing? Are you seeing them down anywhere? I'd love to know. We'll all go shop there.
Yeah.
That would be great. And I think it's important to point out also that in that clip that we played of Donald Trump, the people he was referring to who are suffering and struggling are the people in Argentina.
Yes.
He's not talking about Americans who are struggling to put food on the table. He's talking about bailing out Argentina to the tune of $40 billion because he wants to help them. I know we didn't need any allies anymore.
I mean,
do we need allies?
We seem to be losing them.
It's America first.
Yeah.
I thought it was America first.
Yeah. And 2 weeks ago, it was $20 billion. Then it became $40 billion. Don't be surprised when it becomes $100 billion, when it becomes a in perpetuity pledge of billions. This is not ending. This is not how that works.
No. And the other thing, speaking about tagging on or prices rising.
Yeah.
And I saw this morning. We're not going to have a lot of time to talk about this. But the big blob of a billionaire ballroom. So he has said that this is being funded by donations from all of his donors who want access to the White House so that he can do them favors. What about the electricity going forward? What about the maintenance of this building? What about staffing this building? What about furnishing this building? Mm-hmm. I would assume that taxpayers are going to be on the hook for that stuff.
Well, yes. I mean, also, what about all the people who worked in the East Wing, which, by the way, is gone?
It's gone.
It's gone.
Completely gone.
The East Wing no longer exists on the White House. Weird. Where do all those people go? They have to be put into new spaces unless they were just fired. Because it was office space, there was living space, there was security there. Where does that go? That also costs money. Do you have to build in new spaces, do new offices in other spaces? What happens to all those individuals? This goes right back to the Qatari plane.
Yes.
It's not a $400 million free plane. It is a plane that needs to be, that he wants to use, that must be retrofitted to be secure like Air Force One. We pay for that.
We pay for that. And then he gets to keep it.
And then he gets to keep it. And there is upkeep. There is staffing. There is constant technology that needs to be replaced. Those things, if you ever want to see something actually amazing, look at the process on how they update Air Force One. They take it apart down to its ribbons and scrap and put it back together to make sure everything is good. That is going to cost us a lot of money. Yes. This East Wing ballroom is going to cost us money. And I'll be very, very technical and very petty about this. But the fact that all those individuals who are on that list of folks who given, they have all enjoyed massive tax breaks. That is our tax money that we've given to them. We're paying for this whole thing.
For a ballroom, most of us will never get into.
No.
We'll never be invited. Well, I don't know if it's so much as an invitation as it is a donation.
Yeah. Yeah. In that administration, it means the same thing. One gets you the other. And I feel like personally we're just not – I don't know how to make people pay more attention to the fact that because of this president, now our White House, one-third of our White House is gone because he wanted a fancy ballroom.
Yeah. He can do anything he wants, you know.
But prices are down, folks. Congratulations. Enjoy your hamburger helper and fill up with less gas.
Well, again, apparently we're going to be using hamburger helper just without hamburger.
It's just helper.
It's just helper.
It's not even helper.
So we're just going to have noodles.
It's hamburger
helpless.
It's
essentially, we're going to be eating noodles.
I'm not against that. I mean, personally, that's like a choice. It's a choice.
It's a culinary choice.
Jane, seriously, her excitement.
Let's play that clip, Kevin, just one more time in case you're just joining us. This is Kaylee McEnany from Fox with some really happy news.
Yeah.
Kevin, let's play that clip once more.
And last but not least, one trend in True Brand is making a big comeback as consumers tighten their wallets. And here it is, Hamburger Helper. The mix of mac and cheese and ground beef is seeing a surge in sales.
Who was on the side going, ugh?
She was going, yummy. Yay, Hamburger Helper is back. Brought to you by Big Helper. Big Helper. All right.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. That was just funny. That's a funny play on words.
When we return, the shutdown continues, and even some Republicans are now saying, hey, Mike Johnson, there's actually work we could do.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Right?
That's all coming up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's go get some helper.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature passed a new gerrymandered congressional map October 22nd, likely adding a GOP congressional seat to offset expected 2026 midterm losses in the U.S. House. Legislators diluted black voting power to do it, but say it was for partisan reasons. The map likely gives Republicans an 11-3 advantage in a purple state where President Trump won by only 3.3% in 2024. State leaders went out of their way to say it was manipulated to help maintain GOP control of the U.S. House. State Senator Ralph Hayes said, "The motivation behind this redraw is simple and singular. Draw a new map that will bring an additional Republican seat to the congressional delegation." Why admit the cheating? The U.S. Supreme Court's Rucho decision said gerrymandering for partisan reasons was a state political matter, not a matter for the federal courts. For the moment, racial gerrymandering is still illegal under the Voting Rights Act, so the deliberate admission of partisan gerrymandering helps to create an alibi when the case reaches federal court. The new map changed only Congressional District 1, a currently competitive Northeast district where black Congressman Don Davis won by 2%. A North Carolina Black Alliance analysis shows it shifted 8% of black voters into adjoining redder districts, diluting black voting power and tilting District 1 Republican. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Civic Media. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up in just a little bit after the 9:30 news. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. A lot of things to talk about, Dan, with. And good morning, live stream. Dan always brings several hundred people with him
to
live stream. So thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about Donald Trump says, oh, all prices are down and everything is good. And Kayleigh McEnany all excited because more people now turning to Hamburger Helper because everything's so good. And we also talked about the big blob of a billionaire ballroom. And Tiffany had a good comment. The East Wing is how the people used to enter the People's House from Tiffany and River Falls. Is it a coincidence that was demolished? Seems like the people are no longer welcome in the People's House.
Yeah.
That's a real good point. And yeah, we're never going to be invited there.
No.
Unless we can all, maybe if we all chip in together and make a donation, one of us could go.
I don't want to. You know what, Jane?
Not interested?
You can do it. You can do it.
I'll be the one.
Yeah. There was a post, I think the Lincoln Project posted this on their Twitter account, which was a picture of the demolition of the East Wing, and they said a picture is worth a thousand words. And like, what are we going to have to say for ourselves? What are we going to have left when, if and when this is all over? Does the next president come in and say, you know what, we're going to try to rebuild the East Wing back to where it's, or Jake Tapper made a very, very interesting point in an interview regarding this. A lot of presidents, they like to enjoy what's been done before they walk into office. They're like, it's fine. The ballroom's fine. We'll keep the ballroom.
Well, if you listen to Steve Bannon, who is still out there,
yes,
and very influential, mm-hmm. Steve Bannon said yesterday that Trump is going to have a third term.
Yep.
And he will be in office in 2028.
Which I think he just said recently, like a couple months ago, that he wouldn't. Like,
the plan's in place.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are still in the government shutdown, thanks to Mike Johnson, essentially. And this from Alexander Willis. We need the place to be open. GOP lawmakers mm-hmm. fume as Mike Johnson refuses to put the House into session. Lisa Murkowski from Alaska says
she's got concerns.
She does. The issue is that if we're going to do substantive things like legislation, we can't just do it in the Senate. We need both bodies. We need the place to be open. We need the House to be functioning. The House has been in recess, it seems like longer than a month. I think they've only worked like 14 days in the last 3 months, House members.
Yeah.
Because he really doesn't want to do anything about the Epstein files.
No.
That's what this is all about.
Well, that and swearing in
The woman from Arizona.
Yeah, the new congresswoman who was duly elected, legally elected, all the votes were counted, she won, and they're just sitting on it. And if you want entertainment, watch him try to skirt past that question every time, because he has the same answer every time, and now press people, reporters are just like, everything you're saying is untrue. Everything you're saying there's no precedent for what you're saying. You could swear her in right now.
Absolutely, he could. We're talking about Mike Johnson, by the way, the Speaker of the House.
It's absolutely just...
I saw an article yesterday that said that they expect that Johnson will keep the House shut down through Christmas and through New Year's, because they do not, above all, they do not want to release the Epstein files.
Yeah.
And it might not, many people have said that Trump's not in it. Trump is not implicated in this. It's all of the people around that they are protecting, because they are protecting these people.
Mm-hmm. Adelita Grijalva is her name. I just want to be respectful. She is the congresswoman elect from Arizona, waiting to be sworn in. No reason why she can't be.
No.
And he has every reason to keep it closed. I almost said right. He has every reason to keep it closed, because there is a portion of people who will just sit there and go, "Yeah, do it. We don't care. It doesn't bother me. I don't." Because there are congresspeople who are like, "I don't have to work. Fine." And there are people who voted for them saying, "Yeah, don't do it, because we don't have to." Okay, cool. The business of this country is grinding to a halt.
And it doesn't have to be.
Nope.
Representative Kevin Kiley, Republican from California, said in addition to this making it a lot more difficult for us to actually end the shutdown, it also means we're not doing all of the things the House was supposed to be doing this month. Even Senate Majority Leader Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina, said there are so many bills we're all working on. I'm working on a number of things. It requires you to be here. Yeah, they could be there actually doing things on behalf of their constituents.
They can actually be there now. They can't get anything passed, but they can be there.
But they can still meet.
There are
they can still hammer things out.
There are lawmakers in Washington, D.C. working in their office, doing everything they possibly can. But yeah, we are at a place now where the government shut down, the House isn't working, and it seems to be fine. There seems to be no problem. It seems to be just, don't worry about it, Jane.
Because prices are down.
This is how America wins.
Because prices are down if you just listen to that one person.
Yeah.
It's all good. We have news coming up next. And then when we come back, Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning recombobulation area. So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on this Civic Media radio network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. 540 WAUK is your home for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee.
CBS News Brief. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is warning of a strain on air traffic controllers this week amid the government shutdown and their first missed paycheck. Telling Fox,
I see that burn coming from the controllers, and I think it's going to play out as we look forward into the coming days.
He says expect delays and cancellations at airports. President Trump is on an overseas trip to try and make some deals. CBS's Willie James Inman on some of the heads of state he is set to meet.
President Trump is expected to meet with a number of world leaders during this week's trip to Asia, including Japan's newly tapped prime minister and President Xi Jinping of China.
Hurricane Melissa is unleashing torrential rain and threatens to cause catastrophic flooding in the northern Caribbean, popular with tourists, including Haiti, Jamaica, and the Dominican Republic. Evan Thompson is Jamaica's senior meteorologist.
This is tremendous rainfall that is bound to cause widespread flooding.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
The Badgers lose in Oregon. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers losing on the road to the Oregon Ducks 21-7 on a rainy night. Wisconsin had six starting players injured and one of their best linebackers, Darrell Peterson, ejected in the third quarter for targeting after his hit on the Ducks' backup quarterback, head coach Luke Fickell.
This is a tough one to swallow again, but tougher because, you know, that there's some things to be proud of. There's also some things to be disappointed in. We can't play undisciplined. We can't have as many penalties as we have. We can't, you know, make really poor decisions, you know, one of our seniors to get ejected. That was one of those things tonight. We're not going to win a football game, especially against a team like this on the road, if we can't play more disciplined. We can't eliminate some of those big penalties. I think that stands out to me more than anything else.
So the Badgers are now 2-6. They have a bye next week, then host the Washington Huskies on Saturday, November 8th with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some of you might remember Jeremy Renner from the less popular Bourne movie. It was pretty subpar, although not entirely his fault. In 2023, on New Year's Day, the mayor of Kingstown actor was seriously injured after saving his nephew from being crushed by a 14,000-pound snowplow. The Hurt Locker star had 30 broken bones, including 14 broken ribs, a spinal fracture, a broken tibia, a punctured lung, a sliced liver, a broken and dislocated collarbone, and a major head laceration. Season 4 of yet another Taylor Sheridan Show, The Mayor of Kingstown, drops October 26th on Paramount. This is the age of the re-release, and you can add Wedding Crashers to the list of films that you can see soon on the big screen. The Owen Wilson-Vince Vaughn comedy celebrates its 20th anniversary by heading back to theaters. Warner Brothers says the film will hit theaters again December 4th and 11th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin. Listen to it all right here on 540 WAUK and on the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 48. Sunny, 55, the high on Monday. East winds at 10 to 15. Clear Monday night, a low around 48. It'll be windy on Tuesday with a high around 57. Wednesday, some rain and 55.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are energy prices down? What about drill, baby, drill? Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday to do some recombobulating. Dan Schaefer, the political editor for Civic Media and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Good morning.
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Always wonderful to be here with you at Radio Park and Racine to recombobulate on yet another discombobulating week.
Yeah, it's certainly, there hasn't been one.
There hasn't, we have never had a normal week. I've been on this show for, 3 years or whatever it's been now as a regular guest. I don't think there's been a single time where I've come on and just be like, hey, this has been a normal, very chill. Yeah.
Let's talk
week.
Recipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that hasn't happened. We're going to start off by talking about State Superintendent of Schools, Jill Underley. This just keeps getting worse.
It does.
It does.
So the background on this here is that the Cap Times published an investigation last week into how the Department of Public Instruction investigates cases of sexual misconduct and grooming among teachers. There's a lot about that story that we can't really talk about on the radio.
Yes.
I would encourage people to read it. It is a tough read.
Yep.
But it is an important story, and it prompted this Assembly Committee hearing yesterday in Madison, but State Superintendent Jill Underley, who oversees the Department of Public Instruction, was invited to attend and, help clear up some of the confusion,
answer
some questions. This reporting, which DPI has disputed, it raises a lot of serious questions that demand answers from the head of this agency.
And she did not go to the hearing yesterday. She did send someone, a deputy, right?
There were a number of, people from the department. I think three different people from the department who attended and, were generous with their time. It was like a 3-hour hearing. They answered a lot of questions. Like, Underley certainly put these folks in a tough position, and I think they performed admirably given the circumstances. But what's going on here? Like, why, if you are the head of the Department of Public Instruction, this bombshell story, a year in the making, drops from the Cap Times. She refuses to be interviewed for that story. She then disputes the reporting in that story. And then, if you're not going to answer questions from a journalist, sometimes you're going to end up answering questions in a committee hearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened yesterday. And instead of showing up, she was out of state at her alumni at Indiana University receiving a distinguished alumni award instead of answering questions about the safety of children in schools in the state of Wisconsin. It was unacceptable that she was not there.
Absolutely.
This
just gets worse and worse and worse.
From a professional standpoint, it was unacceptable. From a political standpoint, it was stupid.
It was.
This is absolutely like she has gone into her second term as the head of DPI. There's no way she didn't know about these things. There are so many chances for her to get ahead of it.
Yes.
And say something.
Yes.
And come forward, come clean and say, we do this. We recognize the problem and we will work on a solution. And we're telling you now because it's important for transparency. And she didn't do any of those things. And she didn't. And she walked right into an election and won it. And also, I keep on thinking about Tony Evers. This is his last year. And this is going to be the albatross around his neck, trying to get things done. And this is what people are going to want to talk about. And she goes to Indiana to get an award. I don't understand the thing. This also speaks, though, to her attitude towards the election, as far as she was so not really the campaigning was not sparkling, in my opinion.
This is not the first time that she I have other obligations.
Yeah.
When she was invited to. I think there was like a Marquette.
Debate.
Basically a
was
debate.
A debate.
Yeah,
yeah.
A debate.
Yes. Yep.
And WisPolitics had a forum or whatever it might be. And then she said no to this and no to that and just didn't want to come answer questions from journalists. And if you are the state superintendent Why are you running from these situations over and over and over again?
Tom McCarthy, deputy state superintendent at DPI, told lawmakers during that hearing, the state database used to display an educator's license status could include more information about why their license was revoked or surrendered, changes that lawmakers called for on Thursday. From what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Underley's position is that there are problems within the reporting system.
Yes.
That seems to be the excuse.
To a certain extent, yes. That's been part of it. There's also just like, and I think this is always a common complaint among people in Wisconsin for many years now, is that they are under-resourced to be able to investigate these types of things, which, I'm sure is a factor. But if that is the factor, then answer the questions and have that conversation if that is the factor.
Right.
And this is not something that's been going on for, this is not just like a blip.
Right.
Either.
Yeah. Right.
As the Cap Times reporting shows, they broke down what was going on from 2018 to 2023. And like more than 200 cases of, allegations of sexual misconduct and grooming that the department had investigated and kind of shielded those investigations from the public, made it hard to find out which teachers had been investigated, might be losing their licenses. Republicans are all over this. Like they called this committee hearing. They've had press conferences. They've demanded answers. Tom Tiffany had a press conference himself in front of the state capitol yesterday as part of his campaign for governor. And I've been very frustrated to see how quiet Democrats have been in the face of this. I know Underley is, she's a Democrat. She was endorsed by the Democratic Party in the election. But at the same time, like, why are we just remaining silent on a major issue that demands a level of accountability? Like, if there are, confusion about this or whatever, like, have the conversation and have that, look for those answers. But by, again, burying your head in the sand and refusing to talk about this, it's just making the situation worse. And Democrats in the legislature, in the governor's office, the silence across the board on this has been really, really frustrating to see from a party that I often agree with.
And really damaging.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's really damaging.
It really takes. So it just makes it seem like you don't care about the health and safety of children. And that is something that, and I don't mean to swoop in politically, but that's something that the GOP can mine until the last moment. And I don't see a good end for Jill Underley. This seems like a resignable offense, because if this was like two or three teachers or two or three investigations and
over the course of 5 years,
I get that. 200, though, that's a problem that you all know about, and no one said anything. And the fact that you said nothing during an election, during your first term, like, you could have come into your and said, hey, we found these problems and we're going to fix them.
And here's the fix for that.
Exactly. Yes. Instead, they sat there. And honestly, the silence from the Democrats right now is indicative or reflective of the silence from her and her administration during the entirety of her first term, if you ask me.
Right.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about Jill Underley, the head of the Department of Public Instruction, and this really damaging report that came out last week from the Cap Times about teachers looking like they were being shielded after accusations of sexual misconduct. Lawmakers asked the DPI officials who showed up at this hearing, who were cited in the Cap Times reporting, where educators were investigated for these offenses and then able to later reapply for their license. One official said some of those agreements were only for a year or 3 years or a defined period of time. We don't do that anymore.
Well, there was the one story in the initial article from the Cap Times, the one story, I think it was the first teacher they referenced, he quit so he didn't get fired so he could keep his license.
Like, right.
There needs to be, I don't quit, fired. No, there needs to be a paper trail saying why this teacher left. And make it very simple. Like, if it's they left because they're moving, tick a box. They left because they're leaving the industry, tick a box. If it's something like this, fill in the box that says other, but we need to know, regardless whether they're fired or they're leaving, why this happened.
Transparency.
And this,
yeah,
leaving to keep your license. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind right now? This is, I am really surprised that nobody, no Democrats have made any waves on saying so. This is not how, like, you look at all the other, Al Franken, Robert Menendez.
Bob Menendez. Gold Bar Bob.
These Democrats who were wrong and did stupid things and bad things, they were held to account. And they were made to leave office, or in Menendez's, go to jail.
Or prison.
But this... The Wisconsin Democrats, I mean, has there been anything from the WIS Dems at all as an entity apart from the politicians?
From the party, no. But I think it, initially, like, okay, let's wait and see what comes out. The fact that she didn't show up in the hearing yesterday,
it's terrible.
I think it really changes the dynamic here. One Democratic state representative in that hearing, Representative Mike, I don't know if it's Barr or Bear, but he's from Verona in Dane County. He said on the record in that committee hearing, he said, quote, "I'm disappointed that Dr. Underly is not here. She should be here. I've conveyed to her that her team twice in the last week that she should be here, and she was not."
Jenny on the live stream says, "In the shadow of the Epstein files, the best thing Democrats can do is face this head on and justifiably demand Underly's resignation."
And on top of that, it undercuts the demand of the release of the Epstein files.
Yes.
When you do not do the thing that you are asking for, when you do not take action, but you're asking others to take action, it undercuts your credibility to do that. You say, we want the Epstein files. Well, why aren't you holding your own person to account here? Mm-hmm. Where's that? It's hypocrisy, and it doesn't help anyone. And again, whether it's Epstein or this, we're talking about the safety and well-being of children.
And, you know, this wasn't even the only negative story that came out over the last week and a half here about Underly and DPI and what's going on. There was another story in Wisconsin Public Radio with the headline, "Audit finds nearly a quarter of Wisconsin schools missed financial deadlines." So there was this big dust up last year about Milwaukee,
right,
about MPS missing its deadline, and that information coming out right after
the city election
voted in favor of increasing their property taxes for a referendum to pay for what was going on at MPS. This finds that Milwaukee was not only not the only school to do that, a quarter of all schools were in the same position. And it's just over and over again, there are these examples of just mismanagement and poor leadership coming from this agency. And you know what? I think makes Democrats politically vulnerable on an issue that they had been a strength for them for so long, which is education.
Yes. Jenny, again, if Democrats want to be the party that says we address what needs to be addressed, even if it hurts us politically, this is how you prove that you care.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
And it's going to be a long time before a Democrat can stand up and say, we want more money for schools. Well, why? Everything you've done has shown that you can't manage the schools. You can't manage their safety. You can't manage their financials, their budgets, and the kids can't read. Those are easy responses from the GOP. There's more nuanced discussions within that topic. But when Democrats say we want more money, Republicans can simply say, for why? What have you done? Anything?
And I mean, Tom Tiffany held a press conference within hours of this,
I'm sure,
of this committee hearing happening.
Yeah,
they're jumping all over this. They recognize this as an issue that they can win on. And Democrats are silent again.
Yeah, Democrats
better
step up. It feels
like Biden debate situation all over again.
Better step up.
Silence for absolutely no reason.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of WAUK.
Hey, it's Downtown Donnie Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally, talking about mayoral election, which has suddenly become a little bit more crowded with the announcement of City Council President Alicia Halbenslaven announcing her candidacy for mayor, challenging Scott Allen.
Find This Week in Waukesha at waukradio.com. Go to the website and search This Week in Waukesha from 540 WAUK.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the recombobulation area. Dan Schaefer is here. You've had quite a busy week.
I've had a weird week.
Quite
a lot of ways. Yeah.
What's going on?
Should we talk about my weird week here?
Yes.
All right. Discombobulating times as always. So I had a couple different things where, I don't know, stuff that I posted on Twitter. We're still calling it Twitter.
Just random thoughts.
Just one of these things ended up in the new referenced in the New York Times.
Really?
We can talk about that. And another led to multiple segments on News Talk 1130, going back and forth a little bit with one of their morning show hosts, Jay Weber. And so this is, how do I get myself into these situations, Jane?
Because you still use Twitter.
I guess that's part of it.
What happened?
But okay, so first we'll talk about the New York Times piece. So I posted the New York Times ran a piece this week about Mandela Barnes and his potential candidacy for governor in Wisconsin with the headline, "This Democrat lost a big race. The party is uneasy about his return." I believe you guys have referenced
this story. Yeah, I saw that.
Yep. Yes. Yep. So in it, it referenced a Twitter poll that I ran. So it was the day Josh Call said he was going to run for re-election. I was like, well, the one big question left is Mandela Barnes. So I put the question out there. Do you think, or should Mandela Barnes run for governor, was the question. So I had yes, no, and show results as the answers. Yes was 21%, no was 57%, and show results was 22%. So I was genuinely surprised at how few yeses there were.
Oh, no. Were you really?
I was. Yeah. I thought the fact that, I mean, he ran a statewide race. I have a pretty left-leaning Twitter following. I thought, hey, he's a well-liked Democrat in Wisconsin. People probably want to see somebody like that run again. I was very surprised at how many people said no and how few people said yes in that. And I know we've talked about this on the show. Jane, you've made your thoughts on this clear.
I think he's a very nice man. I do not see the substance there. I just don't. I don't see the depth. I don't see the substance. I do not see him as being an effective candidate for governor. I just don't.
I don't know what he brings to the table that the other candidates haven't already talked about or bring with their experience. When you talk about Fran Hong or Kel DeRoyes, Sarah Rodriguez, or especially David Crowley, who, I mean, honestly, like, he's a guy who runs a county. That's good stepping stone towards running a state. Mandela Barnes is, to me, he is an activist. He is an advocate. He works in that social justice community organizing, and that's great. I don't think he brings a lot to the table elections-wise.
Well, I just think people are, my sense of it is just that people are apprehensive about it because he lost.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think we're seeing different responses from different sides of the aisle on candidates who have run and lost and would run again.
Right.
And I think we saw it this week with Attorney General candidate Eric Toney, the Fond du Lac County district attorney. He lost to Josh Call 4 years ago. He's running again. But I saw a lot of the conservative media saying, hey, it's going to be different this time.
Right. But I've also seen Tim Michaels posited again as coming back to run again for governor. That would make three times.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was from Dan O'Donnell, who also said that my column about Evers dropping out was part of a coup to install Ben Wickler as governor. So I'm going to take anything Mr. O'Donnell says with the entire salt shaker.
Oh, that's when I need to have the X-Files theme song, obviously. I love when that. Oh my gosh.
Wait. Go back.
Sorry.
Say that one more time.
So when I wrote my column this summer saying that Tony Evers should not run for a third term, that he should pass the torch to the next generation of Democratic leaders.
Yes.
Dan O'Donnell talked about that column on his show, and he said at the time that this was part of a larger effort to push out Evers and install Ben Wickler as the candidate for governor, and that I was just like kind of some sort of Trojan horse, I guess, for this idea. This, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. I just wrote the column because that's what I believed.
Right.
And Ben Wickler also. Yeah, there we go.
Thanks, God. Wow.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, maybe it was when you were on vacation or
oh,
something.
My,
but yeah.
You influence peddler. I didn't. Ooh.
So that was part of that. So I'm taking any of Dan O'Donnell's reporting on the governor's race with, again, the entire salt shaker. So we shall see what exactly comes from the potential Tim Michael. But it's like, you know, Tim Michaels ran for Senate and then ran again for governor years later. Brad Schimmel ran for attorney general, ran for state Supreme Court years later. Dan Kelly ran twice for. There's all these repeat candidates, and it hasn't worked for any of them.
Yeah.
They're saying Tony's going to be the guy this time.
Well, and I saw Dewey Strobel's name come up
yesterday. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like, are there no younger people who want to do these jobs?
Is there no bench at
right?
all?
Right, at all? Right.
Yeah.
We just keep going back and going back.
I'm really surprised they haven't just said, oh, Tom Tiffany, you're good, and just walked away and said, I'll do other things. I mean, honestly, like, he'd be the perfect representative for their guy. He'd be just do whatever Trump said, and they would be happy. So the fact
well,
that they're
I think
digging...
there's concern about Tiffany too, because it's as our own Mark Becker from Rational Revolution posted on I said on his show last week, he talked with Tommy Thompson, and Tommy Thompson told him that he doesn't think Tiffany can win.
Yes, that was I saw that tweet from you. I listened to that, and it was a very frank conversation.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised he said it on air.
Yeah, and Tommy Thompson was saying that, he doesn't think Tiffany can win enough votes in Dana and Milwaukee County to win a statewide race.
But Tommy thinks he could.
Okay. He always thinks he could.
Yes.
This just in, Tommy Thompson still thinking about it.
We have news coming up next, and then when we will continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Matt Nair on air. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
you're a Civic Media station.
540 WAUK, Jackson, Milwaukee.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. This week will mark 1 month since the government shut down. It's affecting hundreds of thousands of federal workers and will soon affect the millions who rely on food assistance. CBS's Elise Preston is following.
Cars lined up in Pontiac, Michigan this week. Trunks open.
It's helping us out a lot. We need this food.
If the government shutdown continues, there will be less food out there.
Christopher Ivey works with Forgotten Harvest, which collects surplus food and delivers it to hungry people.
We're going to really have to lean into the community support that we need to be able to help us get through this difficult time.
Nearly 13% of people in Michigan rely on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. They're among the nearly 42 million Americans who will see benefits slashed on November 1st if the government shutdown stretches on.
And Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy.